Hello and welcome. You're listening to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner for another Monday night here on FM 103.3, Goulburn Community Radio 2, GCR. And I'm joined, as always, by my two co-hosts, Kyle, the producer.
Hey, hey.
Who does his best to, I don't know,
produce and produce stuff.
Generally mess up the show. But speaking of messes, we have on the other mic, Matty D.
Hello.
How are things, Matty D?
Oh, things are good.
How's your week been, Matt?
My week has been excellent. How is your week?
Matty D is in charge of PR, also known as public relations.
Yeah, I deal with people.
You're a people person.
I'm a people person.
You're a purple people person.
Indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lame jokes aside.
Oh, but the show's only just started.
Yeah, oh, true.
Yeah, what do we have without lame jokes?
Yeah, many more lame jokes to come. But, of course, the three of us, when we're together, make the good, the bad, and the Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
The good.
The bad.
And the Kieran. And that's our requisite wacky sound effect for, I don't know, this hour.
We filled the quota.
Yep, and tonight we have something quite interesting. We have Ben sitting in as what should we say he is? The intern, I want to say.
Our intern.
Okay, lean over to the mic, Ben, say hello.
Say hello.
Hello there.
How's it going?
Good, good.
You were a fan of the old show as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good old Midnight Express back in the day.
And hopefully you'll... My brother is... I don't know. He hangs out with you, I suppose. He laughs. And, of course, later on we'll be announcing the winner of the fan art competition. We had a whopping three entries, and one of them was from one of our own hosts.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
A mysterious package.
Oh, should we address the...
Yes, we should.
Straight away? Okay, if you want. We arrived at the station.
While Ben holds the mysterious book.
We arrived at the station and there was a mysterious package on the doorstep. I'm sure whoever planted it is listening right now having a good chuckle. But no name.
Our first thought was, oh no.
Oh yeah, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. They've discovered what we've been,
We've been doing nothing wrong.
No, I know.
But, we were like, what's going on here? And it was thick, and I picked it up, and it was heavy, and we opened it up. There was another smaller package inside. We opened up the smaller package, and can you hold it up so I can read it, Ben? Inside was Sleeveface Be The Vinyl, which is a collection of people holding up vinyls to certain parts of their anatomy and replicating the image, which is actually really cool.
Yeah. We've been looking at them and having a good little laugh.
It's sort of like a little coffee table
really
book.
Awesome.
What the most off-putting thing was a little Guess Who's Coming to Dinner note.
It was sort of like something from the Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
So I cut out the letters
from
a magazine.
Haphazardly pasted it.
We're kind of impressed, really impressed, flattered, and kind of creeped out.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy at the same time, because I don't think a lot of people actually know where the station is. I'm sure if you tried, you could find it. But we don't really publicise where we're broadcasting from. We just got to say thanks.
Yes, whoever
sent it in.
Thanks.
I am going to keep it.
Whoever that is, thank you.
Thanks very much. And seconds before I was about to turn on my mic, I accidentally ripped out my headphones. And forgot to turn on Carl and Maddie D's mics. So that's that. Anyway, that was Simon and Garfunkel with Mrs. Robinson, which Carl said was from the iconic 70s movie Shallow Hal.
In retrospect, it wasn't even in Shallow Hal.
Yeah, Jack Black and all those 70s movies.
Height
of his career.
Oh, dear.
He still needs a career highlight, Jack Black.
Well, yeah, his career hasn't officially started
rather
yet.
Than just to sort of jump up and down and say, rock and roll!
I'm a stoner, man! That makes me funny!
Yeah, I think...
He's a fat stoner,
I think we're sort of like... The movies have sort of done the funny stoner. I think they've done that to death now.
Oh, yeah.
Wacky stoner comedy. But anyway, the movie it was from was, of course, The Graduate, which actually appeared in that book that we were mysteriously left as well. And before that, we had the theme from... Shaft. It sounds dirty when you say it like shaft.
It's shaft.
Yeah, damn right. Anyway, we'll have more iconic movies, the themes coming up later in the show. But of course, right now, we have, as Matty D likes to call it,
wacky news.
Yep. We will be looking at some news stories as per usual. And, of course, giving our own spin on the world's events.
What have you got lined up for us today, Kieran?
US schoolboys charged for forcibly giving bullying victim poop dick tattoo.
Please read.
That's not funny.
I don't know if I can say the second word. Well, I just did, I suppose.
Mm.
A schoolboy in New Hampshire was allegedly tattooed against his will by a group of fellow students who told him they would stop bullying him if he agreed to be inked. The smoking gun said today that the 14-year-old victim had the words poop dick and a little drawing of genitalia tattooed on his backside on May 10th after being enticed into a home in the city of Concord. Wow.
Wow.
That's a little sad.
It gets worse.
I see you giggling, Matt.
This gets worse. The boy who suffered from learning disabilities and self-esteem issues told police he was warned by one of the assailants that he was going to get the tattoo whether he liked it or not, and that he would not be picked on anymore if he got it done.
Ooh.
The students allegedly threatened to beat him up if he tried to run away.
It's a horrible story. Those kids need to be punched in the face.
Oh, sorry, I'm not laughing at that. I just read further of the story. But thankfully, the four boys have been arrested and charged with a variety of crimes, including assault, endangering the welfare of a minor, and tattooing without a license. A fifth student is expected to be charged, but wait, here comes the clincher. None of the alleged assailants knew the victim's name, referring to him in the police reports as only Poop Dick or Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Why Spider-Man?
A nickname he was reportedly given after wearing a Spider-Man hat to school one day. That is terrible.
Spidey-Man.
Yeah. That's awful.
That's a horrible story.
Yeah, it's actually... Well, I'm glad...
I don't even want to make a joke about that.
No.
Bullying is not cool. But I tell you what is cool.
What's cool?
A Darwin dad armed himself with his guitar to fend off a crocodile that had walked into his family's living room. The plump, smooth-scaled Salty was a suspected escapee from the nearby Darwin crocodile farm. The croc wandered into the Bees Creek Road home in the early hours of Saturday morning. Neighbours say 15 crocodiles suspected of escaping from the Darwin crocodile farm had turned up on their properties over the last 5 years.
They need bigger fences.
Oh, no.
He fought off the crocodile.
Guess what his name is.
Unpronounceable.
Miko Srbinovska.
Of course.
Just with all these names.
Let's just call him Mick.
Why can't everyone be from the same country and speak the same language, right, Kieran?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least have pronounceable names. Was woken by his wife, Jo Dodd, there you go, who found the 1.7-metre Salty in the lounge room just 3 metres from their bedroom door about 5:30 on Saturday morning.
Imagine that, getting up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and you see a crocodile in the middle of your living room.
Well, this is what happened.
I would turn around and go back to my bedroom.
Our dog was outside the bedroom door barking loudly, said Mrs. Dodd.
Then he stopped barking mysteriously.
And there was burping noises. No, I opened the sliding door and saw the crocodile right outside the door. It's pretty full on when there's a crocodile in your lounge room. I nearly died.
You don't say.
Her husband pulled on some trousers, grabbed the closest item of defense, his guitar, and edged out of the bedroom across the lounge room towards the phone.
And through the power of rock, he fought off the crocodile.
What a guy, though, to do that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you wouldn't catch me doing that.
He then called the crocodile management unit. Female crocodile catcher Danny Best showed up and wrestled the crocodile into submission.
Did she have a guitar too?
Mrs. Dodd said the crocodile made eerie sounds during the struggle with Mrs. Best.
Two guys with a guitar just hitting.
Crocodile's just going do-do-do-do-do-do.
It was prehistoric. The hissing sounded like a vampire. Of course, everyone knows what vampires hiss like.
Of course.
And then it went into its death rolls. The power of this thing was phenomenal, Mrs. Dodd said. Sounds like she's being seduced by the power of this crocodile.
Don't they do death rolls in the... Water.
Yeah.
The next story will be Darwin woman leaves husband for crocodile.
Yeah, maybe.
For crocodile hunter.
Imagine
that story.
Mrs. Best, or whatever her name was.
Mrs. Best and Mrs. Dodd.
The best Dodd around. Oh, God. London taxi driver John Jupp told to pick up a Labrador dog 3,220 kilometres away and 38 hours at Madrid in Spain.
Oh, wow.
A taxi driver could not believe his ears when told his passenger's journey. He said he was called by a woman who had used his cab before. She's asked if I could take dogs in my taxi. As she had been previously a good customer, I said yes. She then asked me to give her a price to pick up the dog and bring it to her house in Knightsbridge. So I asked her for the address. Her reply was truly a moment I will not forget. Madrid, the taxi driver said. The round journey from Knightsbridge in London to Madrid in Spain is around 3,220 kilometres and would take 38 hours.
Did he do the trip?
Oh my God, really?
Mr. Judd, who won't reveal what the fare came to, drove to catch a ferry to Santana, Spain, before a 4-hour drive to Madrid to pick up the dog and its helper.
Wow, so he actually did it. Good for him.
Wednesday saw the 4 a.m. start to a 16-hour drive to Calais.
It's almost like a mini paid holiday right there. Yeah.
France, with the dog and its Spanish minder on board. However, the trip hit a snag when the taxi arrived in Calais. We were greeted by a very nice chap who explained the dog's vet certificate had expired by 6 hours, resulting in it not to be allowed to travel. Worse still, even when we saw the vet at 9 p.m, we would still have to wait 24 hours. I can report that French vets are as mercenary as British ones, and we parted with $100 for 6 minutes. Good work if you can get it.
Wow.
After a night in Calais, or Calais, the trip resumed and the dog was reunited with its owner in Knightsbridge after like midnight.
A wacky buddy comedy road trip.
Yeah.
John Judd and the dog.
Jack Black stars as the taxi driver.
Hey, man, I'm so stoked.
Pile gas voices.
Oh, wait, no. It couldn't be done in the 70s. Jack Black couldn't be in that movie.
It's called Lab Cab.
Lab Cab.
Lab Cab. There's one more. I don't know how this one will go. A sword swallower's act took a sharp turn for the worse when he ripped a hole in his esophagus during a live performance.
Yes, that's what happens when you eat a sword.
Who would have thought shoving sharp objects in your mouth will cut you?
Mm. The experienced stage performer, known as Hannibal Helmerto, got into difficulties when he swallowed an electric-powered glass tube during a show in the UK city of Bradford. He ripped a 4-inch hole in his esophagus while trying to perform the act. Scroll down to watch the video. I don't think I will.
No, that's
we'll watch
okay.
That. I want to watch that in the break.
Yeah, maybe. Miraculously, he finished his show, but collapsed after coming off the stage and was rushed to the Bradford Royal Infirmary.
What a good performer.
What a champ, eh? Helmerto, a former German tax official, could not swallow anything for 5 weeks and had to be fed through a tube while the hole in his esophagus healed.
Aw, poor Helmerto.
But the 40-year-old daredevil hasn't been put off his work and has returned to the stage this week.
He had to sell his Labrador to pay for the operation.
Oh, the video's not of him actually tearing the hole. It's just him doing the stunt.
Okay, I'm not interested then.
The doctor's just like, no, don't be eating any more swords.
I promise I won't eat any more swords.
Sword swallower. Imagine being a professional sword swallower. You would get no slack from anybody at all. What do you do for a living, Brad? Oh, I do. Sword swallowing.
What? No, I think it's cool.
Just carry a weapon on him at all times.
It's just like them and fudge packers.
He gets mugged, he'll just burp up a dagger or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sword swallowers and fudge packers.
Wouldn't need any pockets.
Worst professions in the world.
Wouldn't need any pockets. You just eat everything. Sort of choke it back out.
That's disgusting.
What spare change? Give it in five.
He'll cough up a Beretta and then have to cough up the ammo as well to go with it.
Don't forget.
How did this get here?
Lifestyles with Kyle coming up next, and later on,
yes.
Love Tips with Maddie D.
Indeed.
And of course, Ben will be sitting in for the entire time.
Yeah, send in questions.
Yep. Oh, we have a couple already.
Oh, good. Keep sending questions because that's what me and Kyle love.
I love questions.
It makes
and
our
challenges.
Week. Makes our week. Makes us feel loved, which
it
we always
does.
Aspire to.
How are you going, Kyle?
I'm good. How are you?
You bought yourself a handheld mirror today.
I did.
And I thought you were just going to buy it as a prop for like a costume, but no, you're just using it like like some kind of tool.
Yeah.
Walking around looking at yourself constantly.
Well, at the moment I'm sitting down, but yeah. And it's one of the best purchases I've ever made.
And sitting in for this segment is Ben.
Yeah, I'm doing that.
Or Richard, as we like to call him.
How did that name originate?
Richard the intern. Me and Lyndon were big fans of the show Police 10-7.
Mm.
And the best episode ever, this one with a massive fat guy walking down the street, and the narrator was like, it was just after 11 o'clock and Mel and Alistair were unfortunate enough to run into Richard, the drunkest man ever seen still standing.
A little while later, Mel and Alistair were back on patrol when they were unlucky enough to come across Richard, one of the drunkest people they'd ever seen still standing.
And
So of course that applies to Ben.
And then
big fat man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the next day we were sort of like quoting it, having a joke, sort of laughing about it. And then we ran into Ben, who I hadn't met before. And he was doing some stuff at the theater, I believe. And he was helping us out on stage, and I felt inclined to call him Richard, the drunkest man ever seen still standing. And that's how it happened. Probably not that interesting, but It applies to me.
A story is a story.
A story is a story. Speaking of stories, we have some late breaking news here sent in by Jamie. Thanks, Jamie.
Really?
And I'm quite keen to see what he's... That's hilarious.
What?
Okay, this is from the Huffington Post. We've seen plenty of weird crime mugshots and heard plenty of bizarre stories. But when it comes to criminal names, this one is a mouthful. This guy's name is Bizao Dudu Zo Pippity Bop Bop Bop, who is 30 years old and arrested on Thursday afternoon on charges of carrying a concealed weapon, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of marijuana, and a violent violation of probation.
And possession of a stupid name.
In Madison, Wisconsin.
Imagine the police trying to arrest him.
Zo Pitty Bop 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 was born Jeffrey Drew Wilschke, according to court records unearthed by the Capital Times. He legally changed his name to Bizao Dudu Zo Pitty Bop 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 in October. According to Zo Pitty Bop Bop Bop's apparent Facebook account, when he's not in trouble with the law, he enjoys activities including eating, standing, walking, thinking, and diamond. He's also single, so there's that, ladies.
Oh.
Zo Pitty Bop 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 was apparently apprehended by authorities after neighbors complained of excess drinking and drug use around a local park. Police say when they took...
It's that Zo Pitty Bop 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 again.
When they took Zo Pitty Bop 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 into custody, they found him in the possession of marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and a knife. On his way to prison, Zo Pitty Bop Bop Bop... They just can't help themselves, can they? Allegedly told cops that he would eventually get even with them.
For I am Zo Pitty Bop Bop Bop.
Okay, and that probably leads us right into our segment.
I don't know how, but...
Lifestyles with Kyle, you'll understand soon. Yes. Have you ever had a burning lifestyle question that no one could answer? Well, you're in luck because Kyle, also known as Kyle McSteamy here, is the master of answering any lifestyle question that you can throw at him. And of course, Richard the intern isn't too bad either. But
he's going to help me out.
Okay.
If you want to ask Kyle a lifestyle question, all you have to do is jump on our Facebook page, which is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner 2GCR 103.3 FM. If you just do a search for Dinner 2GCR, it should be the first one to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And people have very kindly sent in questions for you.
I love questions being sent in.
Alrighty, I just have to quickly look them over. Probably should have done this in the break. Okay.
Okay.
This is one from... I'll just keep them anonymous again.
As usual.
That's fun. Kyle, how does one go about helping someone get over their fear of strangers and living away from home?
How does one go about getting over their fear of strangers and living away from home? I don't know. I guess you'll just have to dive in, as Matty D usually says. There's no other way.
Just a non-committal answer.
I know. It's pathetic. It is. And there's no other way to really answer that, though, is there? You've just got to get amongst it. You've got to get amongst it and dive in and meet new people. Otherwise, what are you going to do? You're going to sit at home for the rest of your life and wonder what could have been.
Mm, living with your parents.
Mm.
Afraid of, I don't know, your parents' friends when they come around.
Yeah, occasionally.
Richard, what would you do?
About the same, really. I mean, yeah, as Kyle said, how do I answer that?
It's a difficult question, I think. Mm.
Do you hear music in the background?
Yeah, I did. I heard that during the last one as well.
Where is that coming from?
I think it's coming from the next room.
That is so strange.
This goes to show how...
Are we even going to air? Is this broadcasting at all?
It says we're on air, but I don't know.
There's probably like jazz music going on the actual radio station.
People are enjoying it and listening, going, oh, I'm glad those drunkards aren't back talking again. Yeah, that's pretty much my answer, as pathetic as it is. Thanks, Matt. You just got to dive in and meet new people. The only answer I've ever given.
Okay, this is another one. Kyle, I work straight across from the most hideous... heinous lady since Medusa.
Okay.
How do I go about my daily work routine without launching a nuclear missile across the corridor? Help me.
I don't know. If that were me, I'd just say give in to it and go and tell that woman exactly what you think of her.
Really? What would you say?
I don't know. She pretty much described it for me there. You are the most hideous, heinous thing I've ever seen, and I am holding myself back from attacking you with a blunt object.
Isn't that kind of insensitive?
I don't know. I'm just saying, like... So are they in the same shop or across
maybe
the street? Or?
She, I know this is your lifestyle segment, but maybe they could adopt the usage of a handheld mirror, quite like the one you're holding, and just tape it to her face.
That's a good idea. Or maybe, yeah, whenever you get distracted by the ugly woman, just look down at your handheld mirror and you can instantly feel better about yourself. I think everyone should get one.
Maybe. Everyone should wear masks just made of reflective material.
Yeah.
And so no one could ever take photos of you.
Oh, that'd be a really weird future. I'm going to work on that. Mm. All right. Well,
That's like that theory if you don't want to have your face on the news, like if you've been arrested and you are appearing in court and you don't want to appear on the news with your face, you just...
Throw a tea towel over yourself.
No, you make a mask covered with, hardcore pornography. And, that's how you do it.
Well, I'll remember that for the next time I'm going on the news.
Because they have to blur it, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a few quick questions here. Okay, this one's stepping into risky legal territory.
It's not even 8 o'clock yet.
No, it's just, I don't know, but I don't think you can get in trouble revealing anything. But just depends if you want to or not. Have random kids ever asked you to buy alcohol or cigarettes for them? Or have you ever asked a random person to buy stuff? Here's a story. Just curious. I asked a random dude today to buy me cigarettes outside a store near me. I waited in my car. His car was right next to mine. And he was in there for like 25 minutes. He finally came out. And when he looked at me, he like forgot and then went back in with them. Came back out with them. He was 22 and I'm 17. But hey, girl, you looking sexy. Where's your BF at? What? Okay, the guy says to her, hey, girl, you're looking sexy. Where's your boyfriend at? I was like, totally, I don't have one. And he's like, okay, well, write down my number and call me sometimes. I did, even though I have no plans on calling this random person. Lol, it only took him 30 minutes to get them for me, but I got them.
That's not even a question.
I think the question is, have you ever...
That's just a stupid story.
Have you ever broken the law or entice someone into breaking the law?
No, I have never broken
your
the law.
Your pure soul? Pure soul?
I am a Puritan. I believe in upholding the law and all of that stuff.
It's funny how he goes quiet when we delve into his personal sort of life, isn't it? Ben? Oh, sorry, Richard, the intern?
Thank you. I've honestly never broken the law or enticed someone to do so.
You sure?
That's it.
I'm certain.
Because it's wrong.
Exactly.
It is very
because
wrong.
It's wrong.
Never.
Okay, and I don't recommend anybody break the law either, because this is still an early show.
Yeah. Okay, another quick question. I keep having recurring dreams about a house. What does it mean? There were around 8 stories. The middle stories were haunted. The top story had books everywhere. It was a peaceful room with a lot of sunlight. Outside the window, there was a bridge of vegetation that crossed to the neighbor's window. I don't remember there being a neighbor, though. What does this mean?
This is Lifestyles with Kyle, all right? Not Dream Therapy with Kyle. I don't know what it means. Only you would know what it means.
Yeah, true. You're not there,
Dad. How could I possibly answer that? I'm not.
It's Lifestyles with Kyle and Cheap Therapy.
And Cheap Therapy.
If you can take abuse, of course.
No. Well, I haven't abused people in a while, you know? I've actually been giving pretty legitimate questions. Answers, even.
One final question. This is just related to what I said before. If you could change your name to anything in the world, what would you change it to?
What?
Matty D said something in the background there.
What was that
guy's name on the news? The news. I can't even remember. It was too long. I know it had bop, bop, bop in it a lot.
Oh, no. God, no. I'm pretty like happy.
So
I'm pretty
pity.
I'm pretty happy bop, with bop, the bop. Name I have currently.
Richard?
Well, I would definitely change my name to Richard. I mean, that's a great name.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't really think of a different name. What if you could change your name, what would you call yourself?
Oh, if I could Kieran? Change it to anything in the world, I'd probably change it to...
Nico!
No, I'd change it to like... Well, that's an interesting idea, but I'd change it to maybe a famous person's name. So when people are saying, oh, my friend, Matthew McConaughey's coming around.
Oh, my friend Jack Nicholson.
My friend Jack Nicholson's coming around. And you're legally called, like, I don't know, Jack Nicholson or Mike Myers who was the guy? Jack Black.
Jack Black.
You're legally Jack Black. And like, Jack Black's coming around, and everyone gets excited, and then you turn up and you're just like, hi, guys! Just me!
Only me.
Can you imagine how... it's like that Zobitty Pop, whatever his name was. You know, he's just doing it for a gag. If you can get a good laugh out of your name, then you know. What's a name?
Yeah, exactly.
And this has been Lifestyles with Kyle.
Please send in your questions next week and I'll be happy to answer them.
Yes, thanks to those who are actually sending questions on Facebook.
Always makes me feel good.
And thank you, Richard, for chiming in. Are you learning everything you've wanted to learn about the whole radio industry?
Oh, yeah, of course,
this experience? I think you learn a little something about yourself in these segments as well,
everybody
don't we?
Everybody does. Well, that was was fun.
It certainly was, and it always is. Mm. And now here's the intern Richard with the weather.
The weather at the moment is currently quite sunny as far as I can see out the window. The current temperature is 19.4 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a minimum temperature of 12 degrees Celsius and a maximum temperature of 25 degrees Celsius. This was the weather with Richard the Intern.
Thanks, Richard the Intern. You're listening to FM 103.3 Goulburn Community Radio 2GCR.
And the show... The voice of Goulburn.
The voice of Goulburn. We haven't said that yet. And the show you're listening to is... Guess who's coming to dinner?
I think Patricia must be annoyed that she hasn't been able
Patricia
to do the weather for work for
I really liked Patricia. She brought some class to this show.
Yeah, she did, but...
She's been ill for a long time.
She's missing in action.
I haven't heard from her, you know.
Maybe she's gone the way of that girl from the RC Cola ad.
Maybe her news career has picked up and we might be seeing her on Sunrise or something.
With Koshy.
Maybe.
With Koshy. Oh, Patricia!
What's the weather like, Patricia?
Did I ever tell you the story about David Koch? My story?
No.
One of my housemates was like at a football game, and David Koch was in there because.
Go to the porch.
And then my housemate saw a really attractive guy, and she just goes up to him, starts talking to him, and says, "Oh man, I really hate David Koch. He just annoys me so much. Just everything about him is just an idiot." And the guy turned out to be his son. It's like, that's my dad.
Man.
So there you go.
What a kick in the pants.
Awkward.
I hope he sounded just like Koshy.
In my head, he does.
Just like a younger version.
That's my dad! Koshy with hair. Oh, dearie, dear.
Why didn't I see this before?
Yes, I can't believe he didn't see the family resemblance. I don't know if it's turning into Mrs. Magpie Koshy. But anyway, it's time for one of my favourite segments of the week, Love Tips with Maddie D.
One of my favourites as well.
It's everyone's favourite segment.
Yes.
Finally a good segment, right, Kyle?
Oh, yeah.
Are you lost in love?
Let's just dive into Maddie D's love tip.
Dive in.
Have you got a burning desire that you need filled? Innuendos aside, it's time for Maddie D's love tips. You can send in your Maddie D love tips question to the Facebook page, which, of course, is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner 2GCR 103.3 FM. Are you ready to dive into the questions, Matt?
I am always ready to dive in, Kieran.
Okay, we have one actually on the Facebook.
Oh, thank you.
Maddie D.
Yes.
I already have a collection of followers. How do I go about organizing them into a harem? Or harem.
Harem.
Maybe a question better suited to Kieran. Oh, okay. Anyway.
Do you have a harem?
No.
I know Kyle has a harem, but...
I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
I have my dream
harem.
I have my dream harem.
Okay, so how would you organize a group of women into a harem?
Okay, well, you have to get them all in the same room at once, which can be difficult, but, you know, send an invite or something, and then just sort of, like, organize them there. That's what I would say. Or...
Dive into the harem.
Or like, list them to... give them scores, I think. Give them a score and just sort of like...
hotness?
Of
like 10 to 1?
And get them to have the number, like, on them as well.
Tattoo it onto their forehead.
Don't laugh, because I actually knew somebody who did that, and his girlfriend found...
What?
...the book.
What?
That... But, you know, it gets a little bit differenter.
Differenter.
Yeah.
This particular guy...
Turned out to be a serial killer.
No, he liked... he had what they call a foot fetish.
Oh, yes.
So he was ranking their feet, and the girlfriend didn't rank very highly.
Oh.
She didn't end up
She had tinier or something.
Yuck.
But I would say score them. I mean, how did you do it, Carl? I mean, you haven't even collected your harem
yet. Not yet. I still got to collect
some. It's like
imaginary.
A pipe dream. Don't do what Carl
does. Why would you write it down with people's names next to them? Wouldn't you at least put it in a code?
Easily accessible perhaps. By your girlfriend as well.
What is the benefit of writing it down? Oh, just in case I forget.
What I rate their feet.
Yeah. Okay, I've got some more here. This one's quite an interesting one. I enjoyed it.
Is this another Facebook one?
No. Help me with this. I'm in a bar with a date and excuse myself to go to the toilet. When I return, a guy is hovering over my chair talking to my date. I linger, play the jukebox, etc. I don't want to dive in like a possessive boyfriend.
Oh, no. What?
It really does say that.
Now what are you going to
like
say,
like a possessive
Matt?
Boyfriend. Later, my date said I should
have... Look at him, he's freaking out now.
Later, my date said I should have come right back with the guy because the guy was a loser and she was dying to get rid of him. A week later, on a date with another woman, this time when I came out of the John, I see another guy talking to her. I head straight to the table, excuse myself and take my seat. My date later tells me that I acted like a jealous he-man, claiming his turf and should have given her time to take care of the situation. I guess my only solution is to ask my dates before I take a leak. If there's a guy with you when I come back, how should I handle it? How does Matty D deal with the man in my chair situation?
Dive right in. No, I'm just joking. Let me think. Yeah, no, I've actually had this happen to me before.
I'm sure you have.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
you go to the toilet, come back, and Carl's making like tuning up your lady.
It sucks.
Have you seen me?
His segment's terrible. But have you seen me?
You know, I'm going to assume that the person is somebody who actually has a chance, so not like Carl.
Oh.
Well, it did say a loser that she was dying to get rid of with the other guy. So, no, yeah, continue. Know. Sorry, Carl. We are funny.
Well, you know.
No, I don't.
Women are stupid, I guess, is the answer to this question. No, it's a joke. I was joking. You know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a funny one. One of your jokes.
People are different. What some people see as jealous, other people see as bad. But if the guy is talking to the person you're on a date with, then you're allowed to go up and you know, you should...
Join in?
Not... Yeah, maybe that's how... Maybe that's a solution. But, yeah.
She's your date.
Yeah,
you had a first. You claimed your turf.
All right. She's not a piece of property, Carl. But, yeah, no, you shouldn't feel like you needed to, like, leave or not go up there. Because, like, yeah, she is your date, you know. And for a lot of the time, the woman will just... That's just the woman being polite to the guy and wanting to get rid of him. That's my... take on it. That's my advice.
Okay, there you go.
So can you give us like one of your situations, since you said that you were really
one of my situations
happened?
quickly
okay. I just got out of the bathroom and then somebody else was chatting up a girl I was interested in, and I took that to sort of mean, oh, okay, damn it. But it turns out it was one of these cases.
You snapped your fingers and walked
just
away.
Just snapped my fingers. I went, oh, well, next time I won't use the bathroom. But,
I'll pee alone.
Oh, who knows?
Maybe myself. She's into that.
Yeah. But it turns out that was exactly what happened. The guy was a loser and she was just really wanting to get rid of him.
I've actually got an interesting story.
Oh, yeah?
To tell. It wasn't really a date. It was just a girl I was interested in at the time. And we were in a bar and I went to... No, actually, we were sitting there. Chatting away, having a few drinks, and then this guy came over and was talking to her, and he was just sort of like leaving me out of the conversation. And I was just like sitting there going, do, 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 do. And then next thing you know, he starts...
Go away.
He just like basically just starts eating her face, and I'm just like...
Oh, really?
And then like she's kicking me under the table, and so I took that to mean, oh, she wants me to go away. So I just sort of picked up my...
No, Kieran, that
and
is
wandered,
not what, that
and
is
wandered
not what
into the
mean.
Other room. And then like later
Are
on she
serious?
Came and found me. Yeah, later on she came and found me. She's like, what were you doing? Couldn't you get my signal that I wanted nothing from him? And I was like, oh, I thought you meant that you wanted me to go away. That's
Kieran,
why
even
me.
I know that's a...
And God. She's like...
She's kicking your leg going...
And she's like, next time he comes back, get rid of him. I'm like, how am I supposed to do that? He's twice my size. And then anyway, he comes back. He's like, hey, where were we? And I was just like, oh, hey, lady friend, how about you come and buy me a drink? And she looked at me sort of funny and went, yes, that sounds like a great idea. And I was like, do-do-do.
Not only did I
win the day, I get a free drink too.
You are such... You were such a bad person.
Hey, it worked, didn't it?
It was pretty funny. It was funny in retrospect, embarrassing at the time. Okay, another question.
Yes.
How are we doing for time? Okay. I found a collection of pornographic photos on my boyfriend's computer. I don't mind that he looks at porn, but he has put my sister's face on all the photos. I'm not sure what to think. Advice, Matty D?
Was that a brother or a friend? Sorry, I missed the first bit.
Her boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, where's my music, Kieran? Advice?
Dive into a sister.
Yeah, dive into a sister. No.
What?
What? That's very creepy, and you should probably get rid of the boyfriend. It's very weird. It's kind of weird that you said that she's okay with the porn thing, though, because a lot of girls I know are not okay with that.
Really?
With if their boyfriend was looking up pornography, yeah.
It's just a guy thing to do, I think.
I don't think so.
No?
No. You should respect women, you know. shouldn't look up pornography at all.
Oh, no, well, I don't. You who said in the last 10 minutes that women are stupid?
Oh, yeah, that has nothing to do with pornography. Well, maybe it does.
In the pornography business, you should respect women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but what was the... So the tip was there to drop him. He's obviously a creep.
Drop him. Such a creep.
But what
about... That's just weird.
What about the fact that, you know, obviously he finds...
Drop him or, you know, I don't know...
Talk to him about
threesome.
It.
No! With the sister! It's her sister!
And it's not an option!
This is not an option!
This is a family-friendly show!
Most of the time.
Well, there you go. I'm a guy that likes to give people two choices, and those are the two choices that I'm giving them.
Incest is never a choice.
Oh, no.
I don't care who
you
are.
Incest is never a choice. That is correct.
Are we really going here? Hey, speaking of going there,
we have...
Richard actually has a special love tip that he's going to give some people. That's right.
That's right. You were saying before.
You were saying before that you were going to give this special love tip. So come over onto the mic.
Or go to Kira's.
Whose mic do you want to go in?
Just go Matt's.
Go Matt's. It's closer. Right.
We want to get your...
Give him a pair of headphones.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And so now here's... Richard the intern. Yeah, with his love tip.
Well, thanks, Kieran. While Matty D's romance advice is passable, sometimes the ladies need to hear more than just dive in. But of course, when the ladies say dive in, by all means, dive right in, snorkel and all. Why not come along to Ravishing Richard's School of Romance, where I, Ravishing Richard, will guide you and your partner from the first date all the way to third base. You'll learn all my tried and tested pickup lines from simply pointing to your own crotch and exclaiming, "What are we going to do about this?" All the way to more lavishingly linguistic liaisons. For example, I always open with, "In the hour of temptation, will my serpent be in your tree of good or and evil?" By using my opening lines, a buxom Eve will be munching on your forbidden fruit long before Adam gets home. The next lesson is adopting a lover's touch. While calm, steamy usually goes for the all-hands-on-deck approach, for most couples, this is unromantic and creepy. With my coaching... Stop it, Karen. You'll learn that the best touch is no touch at all. In fact, withholding all contact from your partner is a great way to store a large pound of passion for a special occasion, perhaps once a year. I call this my blue balloons technique. Finally,
that's good advice.
Finally, once you're experienced enough to venture out into the world of wooing, allow me, Ravishing Richard, to record your process every step of the way. That's right, in order to ensure quality control without interfering, I will remain hidden, filming and recording your every intimate moment. Later, I'll go over every second of footage in the privacy of my own home, looking for any small mistake you make in the process. I may have to re-watch the footage time and time again, but trust me, the end result will be extremely satisfying for both of you. So come to Ravishing Richard's School of Romance, where you'll not only find her pleasure center, but also a picturesque little spot along the way where you can stop for a light lunch and some heavy bonking.
Thank you, Ravishing Richard.
Thank you, Richard the intern, for that brilliant advice.
This segment is more than passable.
Hey, of course it is. All hands on deck works most of the time, I'll have you know.
It works 99% of the time.
Every time.
Okay.
Well.
Come one, come all to the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Arena Spectacular. Live at Ace Arena, the crew of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, your favorite radio show, are doing a live performance of all your favorite segments, including Kieran with his obscure 80s trivia.
David Bowie's Putting Out the Fire, I think, was actually the theme to Cat People, obscure 80s movies about were-cats. I think it also featured in Inglourious Basterds.
Marvel as Kyle abuses the audience and tells the same jokes over and over.
I'm gonna tell you this once. Zombies aren't real. There's no such thing as zombies. There's no such thing as vampires. There's no such thing as werewolves. It's all things made up to scare little pissant kids like you at night, just so you don't go out. Alright.
And watch Matty D please the ladies with his live rendition of the Spider-Man routine. The Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Arena Spectacular. Book your tickets now to avoid disappointment.
You're listening to Guess Who's Coming to Dinner here on FM 103.3 Goulburn Community Radio, the voice of Goulburn. You two just heard the ad for the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Arena Spectacular.
Oh man, I'm booking my tickets.
It's amazing. I can't wait.
You can't book your tickets. You're in it.
Oh, that's right.
Well, everyone else will be booking their tickets.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope so. I'm definitely looking forward to some arena action.
Oh yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we actually did a live show? Maybe not in Acer Arena. If we once did, like, if we had three mics, we're on stage.
What do you mean? We're going to do it.
And we did a live show.
We're doing a live show now.
No, I mean like in front of an audience, like an actual audience.
Ooh.
We could do
Wouldn't that be cool?
We could do that.
That would be, I think, a bit
How many
fun.
People would come, though?
That's a good question.
Five or ten.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. I was going to say something then, but I didn't think it was going to be. Anyway, moving right along. Anyway, something we love here on the show is challenges. Matty
love
D
challenges.
Loves challenges.
I love
if you want to specifically challenge any of us to something in particular, someone, well, it was actually Matty D challenged us to dress as hipsters for a week.
Yeah, that was a great
earlier
idea.
This, late last year. And in the old show, Midnight Express, he got us to do all sorts of things, as did the audience.
Like an egg and spoon race.
But something we love to do is challenge each other. And so now it is time for our weekly challenge.
I love this music.
But anyway, yeah, something we regularly do is sort of quiz each other in trivia in varying areas of expertise, from 70s rock to Goulburn history to Name That Tune to James Bond movies. Yeah. We've had a whole array of questions, and the winner gets to pick the challenge next week, but we get to learn a little something about
ourselves
at the same time.
How much we know, how much we learn.
And it is always entertaining, I can guarantee you that. Mm. But I'm sure you two are keen to find out. I, of course, won
Absolutely.
Last week's challenge mm-hmm. against Kyle on Goulburn Trivia.
Yeah.
Which I think the scales were sort of maybe unfairly balanced there because I've lived here for several more years than Kyle has.
Not to mention the final question.
Yeah, the final question was biased. What colour was Kyle's shirt? And he's the only person who thinks it's pink when
it
everyone
is.
Else says purple.
You can see pictures of this shirt on the Facebook page. And it is not pink.
And you can all agree with me that it is a pink shirt.
Or not.
Well, you can all agree the truth.
Our challenge today is, well, along with the theme for our music today, we have 80s movie trivia. Well, we have 70s and 80s music tonight.
Awesome.
But specifically, 80s movie trivia.
Well, well, well.
And we start off with semi-easy questions and we'll work our way up to some harder ones. But
we're screwed, aren't we, all the way through.
Trust me, they're not going to be that hard. Okay, and
said that
just remember
week.
Jack Black was a big thing in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal, the big 70s
Shallow
movie,
Hal.
Shallow Hal. All right, Richard the intern is going to keep score, and at the end he's going to let us know who won and who will be challenging us next week. And of course, okay, here we go. First question, who sang the theme for Ghostbusters?
Roy.
It's controversial because the people who sung it
Ray Parker Jr.
Yep, Kyle was correct with the first
answer. But isn't it, like, incorrect because he stole that from somebody else? Some
Huey Lewis
band?
In the news, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, so technically Kyle's wrong.
No.
So technically Kyle's
right,
wrong.
The song still exists. Okay.
Go ahead. Why don't you flirt with the guy keeping score and see if you can try it every other week.
He already knows all my moves.
Question number two. Which popular 1984 film was recently remade in 2011?
Footloose.
Correct. Another one to Kyle. Question number three. In Flashdance, the main character, Alex, has two jobs. What were they?
She's a waitress.
And a stripper.
Both incorrect, actually.
She was a dancer?
Some sort of dancer.
She was a dancer.
No one gets that one.
And a mother?
She was... No.
she was a dancer and a wife.
She was a welder and an exotic dancer. Not a stripper because she doesn't take off her clothes.
Yeah, idiot.
Papa?
Okay, so no one got a point there. Question number four. Who played Maverick in Top Gun?
Top Gun, that's Tom Cruise.
Correct. Point to Matty D.
Top Gun, get Tom Cruise.
I got a stupid mirror and I'm looking at myself all day. That's me being you.
It's better than looking at you.
What was the question?
There's no question. you just both fail at life. question number five. In Nightmare on Elm Street, what colour was Freddy Krueger's jumper?
Red and black.
Red and black.
Both incorrect. It is actually
red and green.
Red and green.
Well, that is correct, but you both already answered incorrectly.
It was red and black.
No, it's red and green.
No, I think you would find, Carl, it's red and green. That's
it
right.
It is actually red and
green.
So do I get
a bing? You were copying me just slightly after I said it.
Do I bing?
Question, no points there, but question number six. In E.T. the Extraterrestrial, what was the first English word E.T. spoke?
It was something about the TV. Or was it about the soda? I can't remember. A phone?
It's actually not related to anything. That's a hint.
Damn it.
I haven't seen E.T.
Any guesses?
Oh!
That's not an English word.
I think you'll find it is.
No.
Was it E.T.?
No.
Elliot?
It was okay, question mark.
I nearly got it.
No points there. Question number seven. In Gremlins, what was the name of the original main gremlin?
Oh,
Stripe.
Cosmo.
Gizmo. Or Stripe.
Gizmo.
Gizmo wasn't a gremlin. He was a Mogwai. It was Stripe.
I'm going to have to give that one to Kyle because he did say Gizmo and not Cosmo, even though he said Stripe first, who wasn't there first.
It's ridiculous.
Stripe was the child of Gizmo, was he not?
Yeah, but Gizmo isn't a gremlin. He's a Mogwai.
I don't know how you got that point. You said Stripe.
Stripe is a gremlin. He was the first gremlin.
They're all gremlins. They just...
No, yeah, I'm going. Gizmo I'm trying to Mogwai. Keep it broad and just say that they're all gremlins.
Oh, dick.
But you got the point anyway, so no okay. need to argue. Number eight, in Rocky III, who played Rocky's opponent?
Mr. T.
Correct. Nine, in the never-ending story, what was the name of Bastion's luck dragon?
Fluffy.
Any idea, Matt?
No, wait. I don't know.
It was Falcor.
Of course it was.
Question number 10, and after this one, the questions will get a little bit harder.
Oh, really?
Question number 10. In The Goonies, what was the name given to Chunk's humiliating dance?
The Trouble Shuffle.
Kyle got that one.
Yeah.
Bonus question. Who sang The Goonies theme song? I'm not going to play it tonight.
Goonies?
No.
Damn it.
Sorry. It was Cyndi Lauper with The Goonies Are Good Enough. Which is, I think, the worst song ever made. 11. In the Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back, who physically played Darth Vader?
David. Prowse. Is it Prowse?
David Prowse.
The Scottish
I'm going to give that one to Matt because he said the last name. But you were both very close on that one. Number 12. In the classic original Friday the 13th film, who was the serial killer?
Pamela Voorhees.
That is actually correct. Question number 13. In Back to the Future, what kind of car was modified into a time machine? That's correct for Matty D. Very close there.
You got to let him finish the question.
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't in the last one about Jason's mom.
Yes, he did.
Now, this throws back to something I played earlier this evening. What was the theme to The Breakfast Club?
Forget about me.
That's correct. It's Don't You Forget About Me by Simple Minds, not Simple Plan.
Or Nickelback.
Well, they're Simple Minds.
15. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, who played Indiana's guide in the opening scene?
Alfred Molina.
Correct, Kyle. Question number 16. This will be interesting. Please refrain from saying anything rude. Question number 16. In Beverly Hills Cop, what does Axel Foley stick up a tailpipe to sabotage a car?
A banana.
Correct.
That was the biggest guess in the world.
Yeah. Number 17. In Rambo 2... In which country were the prisoners of war being held?
Vietnam.
Kyle was correct there with the first correct answer. 18. True or false? In Three Men and a Baby, the ghost of a boy who committed suicide on the set can be seen in the background of several shots.
True.
Damn it.
It's actually false. It's a cardboard cutout of one of the characters in the movie.
So Kyle gets the point?
No. Number 19. What city is Ferris Bueller's Day Off set in?
Chicago.
Correct. Well done. 20. How many uses of the F word appear in Scarface? I'll take the nearest correct
answer. Over 300.
13.
Did you say 13?
Is it over 300?
You're saying over 300?
Something like that.
Just give me a solid number.
I'm going to say over 301.
You're an idiot.
Okay, I'm going to have to give that to Kyle because it was 226.
Making me the victor.
Okay, and I have a tiebreaker question here, but I don't think we're tied. What are we, Richard? What have we got?
Kyle 10, Matt 5.
Kyle 10 and Matt 5.
Let's say the last point wins.
No,
let's say that.
No, let's
otherwise,
not.
Otherwise, there's no point in me even answering this question.
Exactly.
Well, we'll
we're just humiliating
we'll
you.
We'll do it for the sheer fun. Okay. Okay.
I knew all these answers.
Okay. Who plays the villain in The Terminator?
Oh, is it Arnie Schwarzenegger?
Well done. But that was
I'll let Matt have that point.
No. Of course, the big winner there was Kyle, and he will be in charge of... Isn't it weird how it's worked out exactly even so far?
Yeah.
It's almost like it's been rigged.
I think it has been.
Because if you think the first week was me, then it was...
Me.
You, and then it was...
No, it was you again.
And then it was me, and then it was Matt, yeah. And then it was me, and then it was Kyle. So it's going
to
be...
So Matt and I are just swapping between, yeah. Like, throwing it to you.
I guess that really is what's happening here.
I think that's the only logical explanation for me losing.
How about you're an idiot?
How about shut up?
Well, if you want to listen to what real idiocy sounds like, go back and listen to the show with the 70s rock trivia. That is hilarity.
That was pathetic.
I love how you thought that, and you know, it's just like, oh, you guys will get so many correct, yeah. And we were just for the most of it just
yeah.
And then looking at the two other people in the room for
you
the answers.
You say 70s rock trivia, Matt and I, all the colour drains from our face and we have a look of fear.
No, I got most of those questions right by myself.
Yeah, you
I
actually
cheated
didn't
for
do,
the couple,
you, like, you treated for a lot of them, but
I didn't cheat for even a lot of them.
Kieran, Kyle, and Manny D, and the intern Richard.
Yes,
yay!
How are you going, Richard? Do you want to come over here and get on the mic, because we're going to do a segment that's fairly new to the show called Horoscopes by Kyle.
McStarlight.
And this week, Kyle McStarlight. That's right. This week, Horoscopes by Kyle McStarlight will be read by the intern,
Richard the intern.
Richard the intern, just to give him something to do.
Aries, get ready for an unexpected trip when you slip and fall 6 stories from an open window. Taurus, you are the most remarkable, handsome and attractive of all the star signs. Buy a mirror, you hunk. Libra, due to your absorbent nature, you will be the life of the staff pool party. Gemini, your personality and charisma will pay off when a stranger offers you $1 million. Jokes, this week will be boring. Scorpio, you will have an amazing week, no joke. Good for you. Cancer, this will not be your week, month, or year. Sagittarius, I still really don't like you. Capricorn, after doing my research, the stars predict you are a mixed breed of fish and goat. Aquarius, the stars foretell you will lose your wallet at a bar. Pisces, good fortune will come to you when you steal a drunkard's wallet. Leo, your temper will get the better of you this week. Avoid interaction with anyone at all. Virgo, your low self-esteem is a result of your poor hygiene. Hang around Matty D to boost your self-confidence.
And that was Horoscopes, read by
Richard the intern.
As written by Kyle McStarlight.
You're not funny and no one likes you, Kyle.
No affiliation to Kyle McStarlight.
I love it when Kyle laughs at his own jokes.
Well, no one else laughs at him, so, you know.
Oh, well, anyway, it should be the nasty show. The nasty show. The
naggy, no, please, there's more nasty.
Spiky show.
More nasty shows. So come and
speaking
have
of shows, we just recorded a podcast
the other day for the
celebration of getting 100 fans on Facebook.
Yeah. Yep.
Due to Kyle's PR. I don't know why Kyle's doing the PR. And
yeah.
Yeah, what's going on?
I noticed Matt wasn't really doing his job, so...
Why didn't you need to get a sign-up?
Hey, come on. I contributed to the 100.
Did you?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, I told people about the show and they listened.
You
bullied people.
I did not.
Just like, listen to the show. Like us on Facebook.
Or you'll be forced to tattoo something horrible on you.
All you did, Matt, was when people noticed the sign, you looked at them and said, listen to us.
What's that?
I just had a great idea.
Tell us what the idea is.
Since you're not doing any PR stuff, I think it's time to go the same way as that poor bullied kid in that news story. You've got a tattoo, the drawing you drew, which will come up, we'll be talking about
onto
in a
your
second.
Bottom.
Onto your bottom. And anytime someone asks you about the show, you've got to, you know, say, hey, check it out. Drop your pants.
Okay.
There it is. And I've got a good idea where you could probably tattoo Kyle's picture as well. Sorry, Kyle. Anyway, we should probably go into that. Last week, we announced that we were going to have a fan art competition, as in the listeners, podcast listeners and radio show listeners, could lift up their end of the game and draw up some pictures of us,
yeah.
As vain as we are.
Yes.
I say, well, looking to the man really, smoothing really, his hair in the mirror.
Really, anything at all. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner related.
Yeah.
To be the new face of the profile.
Yeah.
And Facebook. So it didn't just have to be us.
Yeah.
Or all of us even.
I thought it did.
No, it was just.
No, you just wanted it.
It just had to be related to the show. But
I was telling everyone to draw us.
Of our 103 fans, we had a total of 3 entries.
One of them
was technically from our own co-host, Maddie D.
Yep.
So doing actual sort of PR work, I guess.
It was, yeah.
Trying to entice people into entering the competition. So really,
lift your game.
There was 2 entries, if you can call them entries. But no.
Yes, we can. They were very good.
One of them was a lovely drawing by Mairead, who has been on the show before. And another one was a very interesting photoshopped picture by Jamie, who I'm not sure if it was exactly serious, but
I loved it.
You can see those fantastic on the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Facebook page. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner 2GCR on Facebook. Jamie had entered one with oh dear, the crew of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, me, Carl and Maddie D, behind the cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, with a very interesting outline in Carl's hair. Your hair, mind you, I've photoshopped it before, is very hard to blend into backgrounds, I've got to say.
Sorry, guys.
You should just shave it off.
I was going to. When
well,
I
why didn't
it.
You do it then?
Because I wasn't going to do it myself. Someone else should have done it.
No and the other one,
excuses, Carl.
The other one, which is great, is the one that Mairead drew, is us actually at the dinner table. Some of our forks and knives are around the wrong way, but we'll overlook that. And it's got the good, the Kieran, and the bad. And strangely enough, I hate to bag you out, Mairead, but Carl is the shortest and skinniest of the three.
Well,
followed up by Manny D, who's wearing a lovely blue suit and he's got an incredibly thin neck. And then me, the largest. Ironically, the largest in the centre, saying the voice of Goulburn. And we've all got catchphrases. I've saying the voice of Goulburn. Carl is saying good grammar makes for a good life. And Matty D is saying, how's your week been?
We've all got something around ourselves. Like,
oh, yeah, something. You've got love hearts for your love tips.
Of course.
I've got music for, I don't know, obviously, because I play the music.
Mm.
And Carl has
I love
got,
this.
He's got lots of little faces, some of them sad, some of them sick-looking, and some of them angry. So
There was a couple of happy faces.
And in the background, there's a picture of the calendar cats.
Yeah.
And needless to say, this was our winner.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
And you, of course, have won the 80s. The 80s mix. I'm just reading this from the top of my head. The 80s mix, which is a double record, a 2-LP record featuring all sorts of artists, including Billy Ocean and some other people. But it is actually a pretty good record.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And it is signed by the good, the bad, and the Kieran. Me, Carl, and Matty D ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All
it'll be worth a lot of money one day.
Probably worth a lot less now that we've drawn on it, but you never know. But thank you for competing, those two people who competed, and honourable mention to Matty D for a fantastic picture.
Thank you.
Here's the twist. We said that the winner would win, the picture would become the new poster for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but she has put in a bit, little disclaimer saying she does not want to be the poster for the show. So I had an idea. We're going to create a high-res version. Maybe we'll get Matty D to actually draw a proper picture of Kyle.
No,
we're
going to
create a high-res version of the picture, and then maybe we'll have a nice little sort of animated logo.
Cool.
As designed by Maddie D, our in-house PR and artist. Man, that was the competition. And we'll have another something special. Not a record next week, but...
Something special?
A DVD.
A DVD.
Oh. You will win next week, but you're going to have to stay
Look
tuned
at
for that
progressing
one.
And modernising.
Wow.
Yeah. You're going to have to stay tuned for that one next week, and we'll be sure to tell everybody about it.
Also win a date with Maddie D.
Oh, we were talking about this. We were tossing this idea around that maybe one of the prizes should be win a date with Maddie D.
It's a pretty good prize.
Or you can take your pick, have a lifestyle, day of lifestyles with Kyle.
A cultural experience.
You go
Kyle.
To the movies and go shopping in Kmart with Kyle.
What is your cultural experience?
That's a secret.
You go to a bar and the person buys you drinks all
that
night?
That is a secret for the
that's
winner.
That's it, isn't it? That's what it is.
It is a secret. It is a secret.
I think
it'd
be funny, but no, that's not actually the prize. Next week we have a DVD, which will remain unnamed until the person wins it.
Ooh.
But it should be good. And that was it. That was the challenges.
There you go.
But if you still want to make a drawing, you can
submit
it to the Facebook.
You can submit in fan art whenever you like. That's the point
absolutely.
Of being a fan. I don't know how people will go with that.
If they don't have much incentive, like it's not like we're offering them a prize now. It's already been won.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you never know what we could give you. We got a prize and we didn't do anything aside from offer our talents up each week.
Mm.
Yes, talents.
However long, talents, or lack thereof. And we got that lovely book of vinyls from a mystery person. Which
I'm still wondering who sent that.
Yeah, I'm actually quite liking it. I've read it already. It's just pictures.
Mm.
But it is quite interesting. And we actually did some homework for a change.
We did.
We went to the movies.
We did.
And the movie we saw
was da 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 da.
It was
Tintin.
The Adventures Tintin. Of Tintin. Tintin and the Something Unicorn.
The Adventure of the
Something
Mystery Unicorn.
The Mystery of the
Sunken Unicorn. This is a great review.
Yeah. We can't even remember what the thing's called.
No, it was just The Adventures of Tintin, but the story was Something of the Something Unicorn.
Yeah.
And the ship was called the Unicorn.
Can you find it? The Sunken Unicorn? Was that it?
It might be the Sunken Unicorn. I don't know. Let's just call it Tintin.
Anyway, basically the movie is Tintin has an antique boat that he buys at a fair and it gets stolen, but it holds secrets to the Haddock family fortune, and he finds the drunkard Captain Haddock and together they quest off to find the other boats and the information that they hide while the evil Daniel Craig seeks out
the sunken treasure and revenge.
And revenge on the Haddock family.
Ooh.
But anyway, Tintin was directed by
Peter Jackson
and Steven Spielberg, which is actually quite interesting. And the entire movie is CGI. What have you done there?
Yeah, what have you got there?
I just thought for the review I could mimic Kyle.
What is with you two and just bickering on air?
I've got like
he started it this time. I wasn't saying anything to him.
I just thought it'd be funny. I've got Kyle's Tintin. Face drawn in my hand, and I'm kind of moving his mouth to every time he talks.
Every time I talk.
Yes.
For me,
fail.
Tintin was one of those movies where I went in with no expectations. Quite like Footloose, which was actually the last movie we saw, the remake of Footloose. And in the end, it just turned out that I was pleasantly surprised.
I genuinely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know. I think most of the last of the movie for me came from
Haddock.
Captain Haddock being a drunkard.
I love Captain Haddock. Oh,
he was definitely
so well.
My favourite character.
How good was the voiceover from Haddock? Like, that was
Andy Serkis.
Yeah. It's just so good.
Yeah, he was pretty
good. In fact, I think all the voice actors.
Andy Serkis, who played
Gollum.
He played Gollum and
King Kong.
King Kong, and he played the monkey in The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
The Rise of the Planet, yeah. Gotta love a good title.
And that's Andy Serkis. Edgar Wright was involved in the screenplay as well, the guy who wrote Shaun the Dead and Hot Fuzz. And it also featured Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
What are their names? Johnson and Johnson.
Thompson and Thompson.
Ah.
The very famous Thompson and Thompson.
Yeah, the two detectives.
Comics.
But yeah, it was all in CGI, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, where they're going to go with this. But it was actually remarkably impressive CGI.
Mm.
Oh, it was so beautiful. Like, it was amazing.
Yeah, the one,
especially a lot of the action shots and all that, they were breathtaking.
Yeah, it's basically the movie's split up between 5 minutes of action and then about five minutes of dialogue and then a 15-minute action scene. Kind of like the reverse of this show, 5 minutes of music and then 15 minutes of dialogue. So really, that was it. But we actually read another review today before we came in.
Yes.
And it was panning.
Oh,
really?
It was
negatively panning.
Pretty sure it said something along the lines of, if you're forgiving and don't expect much, you might be lightly
entertained.
But I thought the action scenes themselves were pretty exciting, pretty redeeming. I mean,
well, I loved it. I thought it was great.
You saw it twice, didn't you?
I've seen it 3 times.
Oh, wow.
I've just been seeing it 3 times because everyone wants to see it.
And it's also
everyone's a Tintin fan.
It's also in 3D in some places, isn't it?
Yeah.
I might actually look into seeing it in 3D just to see what that's like.
Yeah.
Even in 2D, I thought it looked remarkable. And I think I was just really taken away with the sheer amount of detail that they put into all the CGI.
My God. Like, it's still cartoony, but it looks... it wouldn't make sense to say this unless you've seen the movie, but it looks so realistic cartoony. Yeah. Like, it was just incredible.
So, what are some of the cons of the movie? What didn't we like about it, though? We thought Tintin was a terrible... investigative journalist.
As usual, the dog was the one solving most of the puzzles and saving the day.
The two heroes didn't really... They just happened by luck to stumble across the next clue most of the time, didn't they?
Yeah, it was very lucky.
I thought the ending was a little bit of a letdown as well, personally.
Yeah, I was... You know, the final action sequence wasn't as magnificent as some of the other action sequences in the movie, and then it was followed up by... I thought they were going to do something like this.
The final action sequence sort of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect
two cranes in a war fighting.
I didn't expect that to be the end of like the big thing and thought they were going to go further with that, and then all of a sudden, bam, they caught the bad guy.
Yeah. But for a long movie, it did not seem to go as long as it went for.
I thought it was too short.
That was
I reckon it could have been a three-hour movie.
Yeah. Wasn't it a three-hour movie? Wasn't it bordering?
It was about two hours.
And did you know they started development on the film in 1983? Steven Spielberg started work on the film.
Well, that would explain it, because that movie is spectacular, like, look-wise.
Mm. So, yeah, I think the look of it maybe makes up for, I don't know, maybe it lacking in the story department, even though it's made up of three Tintin stories.
I don't know. I like the story. I thought it was really close to the Tintin stories. So a lot of the people, I went with two groups of people. Some people,
it's a bit more action-packed than I remember Tintin being.
Yeah, of course. But like some people I saw it with absolutely loved it, and they're sort of the diehard Tintin fans. And some people who didn't really read Tintin sort of didn't like it and sort of said it was really corny, or they just thought it was, you know,
I never read Tintin. I didn't know anything about Tintin, and then I went in there watching it, and I came out. I quite enjoy it.
You can't go in there waiting for like a serious artsy movie or you know a romance story. It's just a bit of fun, a bit of adventure. Like, I think it's the last adventure movie that I've seen since Indiana Jones, I would say. I can't think of anything else.
If you think about it, Spielberg directed both of them.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But I suppose we should wrap up and say final verdicts. Mm. What would you give the movie out of 5?
I'll give it a 4.
4 out of 5?
I would give it a 4 too. I really enjoyed it. I liked it.
Yeah, I think I'd definitely watch it again, so I'm going to say I think I'd give it a 4 as well. 4's all around. Yeah. Have you seen it, Richard the intern? He shakes his head no.
Well, go watch it. I would say it's one of the movies to watch of the year.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, we saw it this year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe early.
Movies to watch of last year. And maybe this year.
Anyway, we will go to the movies some point again in the future.
Yes.
Who knows what we'll see, but when we do, you'll be the first to know. Mm-hmm. After we see it, of course. We already have a response to one of your star sign readings,
oh,
Kyle.
Dear.
Kyle, I feel as though my life is going nowhere, but I would just like you to know that you hate us. What? But I would just like you to know that you hate us, and now you have a whole constellation returning the favour.
Yeah, Carl.
Okay, so what they're saying is you obviously hate everybody, and then all the planets in the whole universe are returning the favour your way.
Yeah.
See, maybe I should try being nice. I'm going to be the good next week.
Yeah, you can't just do that. Can't just change your personality. A tiger doesn't change his stripes, Carl.
And of course...
you already tried being nice once, and that was just funny.
Jamie said, oh my God, rigged comp. I'd better buy a better computer just to render Carl's head. I was talking about the fan art competition.
Carl, you're and just they, wrecking people's lives two, left, right, and center.
These two were bagging me out outside.
We're not like, the only
accusing,
ones.
Accusing me of rigging the competition.
Yeah.
So I could somehow claim back the record.
I think it's very convenient.
I suppose it is. It does really point like that, but it is, honestly, that's just the way it panned out.
Yeah.
So you say.
So, okay. I went around like white anting everybody saying, like, every entry that came in that wasn't, you know, my girlfriend's, I deleted.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
I think you did white ant everybody.
Yeah, I deleted all the other entries because all 103 fans entered.
Well, if we had more entries, this argument would be invalid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, shame.
Mm, yes. Are you saying something about the morale of the Facebook listeners?
Are you saying
listeners?
It's the fans' fault, Matt?
No, I didn't say that.
Do not forget that we released a 100 fans special edition uncensored podcast. That's right. The podcast of this radio show, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, is After Dinner. It is the only After Dinner podcast on iTunes. You can find it on iTunes, or you can find it on the Guess Who's Coming to Dinner Facebook page. And we released a special edition one.
Mm.
We opened up our minds and our mouths and spoke freely for a change. And
that's up on the page now.
We didn't swear that much this time. No. Oh, we had a few buzzwords.
Yeah.
But you can hear this whole funny ordeal about how Kyle realized what a big mistake he made on New Year's Eve.
I
was going to bring in a clip of it, but I didn't because I couldn't be bothered.
Oh, God.
So you lucked out this time.
I did. I'll let the fans listen.
You need to write me more questions, Kyle.
Hmm?
What?
He needs to write me more questions for love tips.
Oh, he needs to take... Well, we should have had Matty D there. He could have been your wingman.
Maybe I should have
I'm a great wingman.
I should have just dived in on New Year's Eve.
It would have been a different story if you had have done. Yeah. Wouldn't it, Kyle?
Yeah. Well, we'll...
Okay, so hopefully Ben will... Oh, well, sorry. The intern, Richard, also known as Ben, will slide up to the mic because it is time to wrap up the show. Just want to thank everybody who... All two of you who competed in the competition for the week and...
yeah, they were really good. I really enjoyed them. We all really enjoyed them.
I liked it.
And be sure to compete in competitions in the future. Sorry, I was just reading comments on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out the After Dinner podcast if you missed any segments of this show. But until then, we will catch you next Monday.
Next Monday at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. And I think next Monday will be a particularly special Monday for me because I will be celebrating my 1 year...
At the radio
station. In radio.
Oh, yes, an anniversary.
Yep, that's right. And so we might have a few surprises along the way.
Ooh.
But until then, thanks for listening. And this is Kieran saying goodbye.
Kyle saying goodbye.
And me, Matty D, saying goodbye. And
the intern, Richard.
And I just want to thank goodbye. Richard, also known as Ben, for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you, Ben. It's
by a minority, also known as Ben.
Yeah. And offering some of his ravishing Richard's romance advice.
I'll be taking some of that on board.
Yes, putting me out of a segment.
And anyway, so thanks for listening and stay tuned to the station.
Have a good night.